This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And he's 0 for 2 today with a walk. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Masters Thursday around the country. Tinky and Tierney. Minus Tiki today. I'll tell you why in a second. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206. What a staff we have. Our producer, Samter, is currently, 5 days into about a 12 or 13-day jaunt through Israel, all right, with his girl. Tiki is currently on a plane for about a 5-day jaunt through Paris. That will include a marathon. D-Cell, any truth to the rumors you're going to hit the Maldives this weekend? I mean, where are you going that's exotic?
I'm here with you, BT.
Anybody want to work? It's Masters Thursdays. Anybody want to work around here? Oh, my God.
Just me and you.
I hear you, brother. You couldn't pay me. You couldn't pay me to take off today. You couldn't pay me. It's the Masters, which, by the way, is off to a good start for our boy Tiger Woods. Tiger just tapped in a little birdie putt, so Tiger's now minus two. He's got, he's going to the 14th tee box right now. He's got one bogey, that was on five, a par four. He's got three birds. He's birdied two of the three, par five so far. Obviously a big story. You want to win the Masters. You want to win any major. You got to make sure you take the par fives and, you know, reduce them to birdie fests. And he's got one more to go. He's got Amen Corner. He's just stepping into that. So obviously a lot of sway to the day as we get a little deeper into it. Round one, you're not going to win it round one. The old saying goes, you can lose it in round one. I will do a lot of hoops a little later on as well. Great send-offs for Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. I already did a deep dive into the playoff matchups. We'll give you some pretty good thoughts on that. I don't understand it, though. Like, you know, I've worked in this business a long time, and my partners, Tiki likes golf, the guys and gals that I work with behind the scenes, like, none of them really like golf, and I feel sorry for them. Like, they don't know what they're missing. Like, there's a void in their sporting life that they'll never be able to get back. I'll give you a quick example, and then Diesel, I want to pull you in for a sec. So Evan Roberts works down the hole locally on WFAN with Joe Beningo, right? And if you know Evan, he's a complete sports nerd. I say that in a good way. Great guy. Loves sports. He still goes to the Mets games, and he actually does the scorecard. He's 35 years old. He's a sports geek. Loves his Nets. Loves his Jets. And a couple times, you know, either if Joe's out or even a few times when Joe's in, I'll hop down the hall. I'll jump in. I'll do an hour of local radio with FAN, which I enjoy. I've known those guys. I mean, I've known Joe forever. I played golf with Joe, and I've known Evan a long time as well. And, you know, I met Evan, got married a couple of years back, recently had his first child, a son. I remember saying to him, this was probably about a year or so ago, because and Joe was in on this particular show. So the three of us are just bouncing things off, you know, when's Todd Bowles going to get fired, whatever. And somehow the subject, I think Joe and I were talking about getting out and playing golf as the summer was ending again. And, you know, I asked Dev, I said, have you gotten into golf yet? Nah, man, I haven't gotten into golf. And here's the problem. And, like, this is a PSA. And you need to, it's probably getting a little bit too late for Evan, but I can save others, okay? You have to understand. Now, as a husband and as a father, you've got to make tweaks on your end as well. You can't be completely selfish and, you know, have a 7:15 tee time, go hit a balls for an hour, play a five-hour round, you know, maybe chip and putt after it, have a couple of cocktails in the 19th hole and get home at 7 o'clock at night. You'll come home to an empty house. That's just not going to work, obviously. But I remember telling Evan, I said, Evan, here's the problem. Once you stop playing baseball, for some reason he's still playing baseball. But once you stop playing baseball and you actually start to play golf and you hit that first flush shot, maybe a 5-iron, maybe a wood, whatever. Not a putter or a wedge, but a real flush shot. and it reverberates right through the club head, and that magical feeling pulsates through the shaft and hits your hands, and somehow the endorphins just fire, and you are in sporting heaven. You're going to do that, and it's going to be too late for you to golf because you're now, what, 5, 6, 7 years into your marriage, and you have not conditioned your wife to play golf. So if you're getting married, if you just got married, if you're thinking about getting married and you don't like golf, I'm not here to tell you that you have to love golf today. It's not going to happen. It's a slow process. I used to hate golf. Oh, it's for nerds. It's for the affluent. It's whatever. For non-athletes. Wrong, wrong, wrong. But you better start laying the seeds in the soil. Otherwise, you're going to fall in love with it and it's going to be too late. And you're going to be a prisoner of your home, unable to play. So just remember that I said that. Just remember that I said that. You know, and then D-Cell, and here's what I don't get either. Like, don't get me wrong. We've all played our sports, Tiki football, me baseball. Everybody played something. At varying degrees of success, right? You know, the thing about golf, though, and this really ties into the Masters, given the aesthetics of the course, the backdrop of Augusta National, prize property for CBS, all right? You get it all. You get man versus man when you play golf. All right, you want to do a little $5 Nassau? Okay. Longest off the tee, I'll throw. All right, let's have a little fun. Closest to the pin, sure. Greeny, sandy, why not? Right? You get man versus man. You get man versus self because you will never have as many conversations with yourself. And I don't mean where you talk to yourself. I mean where you answer yourself. Conversations. Two-way conversations with you that you will have on the golf course. Because it will drive you nuts, and it will just launch you into euphoria and everything in between. And then, of course, man versus nature. Just the beautiful aesthetics of walking, not to sound corny here, but, God's great property. Grass, the sun, the flowers, the birds, elevated tee boxes. You could play mountain golf. You could play desert golf. I mean, I don't know what you guys are missing. I mean, I can't do this for 3 hours trying to persuade you to fall in love with golf. But, man, I don't know what you're waiting for. D-Cell, what are you waiting for, dude?
I think my problem, and maybe the problem of people my age, is we didn't grow up playing golf.
Neither did I.
But I think a lot of people can't relate to it then.
Neither did I. That's not a valid excuse, man. This isn't 2003. I mean, golf has been cool. Look at Brooks Koepka. We've had Brooks on the show. He's jacked. He's cool. Look at Ricky Fowler. Look at the outfits. Look at the gear. Look at the girls these guys get. Look at the boats they have. Look at the cars they ride. Look at the way they roll on social media. I mean, golf is cool. Golf is no longer, and if it was, quite frankly, I probably wouldn't enjoy it. Let me stick my fat belly into a pair of boring plain khakis, with Argyle socks, and go and mingle and talk politics and religion with the same group of people, none of whom will disagree with what I say, because every club is, funnels in a certain, political and religious element. There's very little diversity, or at least there was. It's not like that anymore.
Well, I think Tiger changed that a long time ago.
Of course. But I mean, not just on tour. I'm a firm believer. Like, take Steph Curry. There's always a couple of years lag before when there's a pioneer, when there's a trendsetter, right? When there's somebody who does something that nobody really did. Steph dropping 35-foot bombs. Tiger Woods walking the course and looking like, depending upon the year, either a strong safety, maybe a defensive end a couple of years, or a jacked wide receiver. Not this is going to get a little geeky, but like torque and spin rate with baseball, and now all of a sudden the spin rate is obviously important. Everybody throws 100. There's always a little lag. So even when Tiger made it cool on TV, in terms of permeating the country clubs, that was, I would say, about a good 10 years behind. The old money, maybe a little intolerant of certain things, which is pathetic, which is why I think golf turns off a lot of people, and I get that. But that's a lame excuse, man. I can't buy that anymore. That just doesn't work, dude. It doesn't work.
I mean, that's what it is for me. Like, I wouldn't know if I was getting into golf now, which I tried to in college.
Okay.
Didn't really work out because I'm a hack.
Define try to. When you tried, what was your foray into golf? What was your foray into golf?
I have close buddies that are avid golfers that would say, you know, let's go play a round, knowing that it would be my first, second, third time going, that I wasn't going to be good.
Okay.
I found the game very frustrating.
Welcome to golf. That's true. It is very frustrating.
It's not enjoyable then.
That's true too. That I can't refute. When you ain't hitting the ball in the air, when you're worm burning, you know, when you're duffing, when you're taking more. I remember Chris Candy, former Giant, right? It's a true story. So for those of you who listen to me and Teak, and you know, without boring, you've known this back issues. I used to play lefty. Then I tried to play righty to alleviate the pain on my back, whatever. Then I had surgery. Now I'm back playing lefty. And now, thank the Lord, even though I'm still an erratic mess on the golf course, when I catch the ball on the screws, it goes. Thank God. I got my distance back. Now I got to refine my swing. But I remember when I first started playing righty, Chris Canny invited me to, and my agent and a couple of people I know, to his golf outing at Alpine, which is a really prestigious. CeCe lives there. A lot of ex-Yankees live there. A lot of current Yankees live there. It's money that we can't relate to. I can. Maybe Tiki when he was playing. I can't relate to that. And I got invited to Alpine Country Club. Gorgeous golf course. I was playing righty. And I was so embarrassed because it was such an unathletic. It was horrific. And remember the first swing that I took. you go to these outings, you start on various holes. You don't start on one. I think I may have been like 5A, and then there's a group behind me, and then there's people watching, which is a different challenge. My first swing, the turf went further than the ball. I swear to God. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is the start of the day? I get it. It's emasculating. It is. It's hard. And the problem is, though, D-Cell, and this is why I warn everybody, or at least as a PSA, encourage you to start now. It does require time. You're not married yet. It's coming, and we'll get to that a little later as well, because now the pressure's on. You know what I mean? The Samter and the... you're not going to have time to go and grind and hit 2 hours worth of balls and rifle through your bag if you're going to start playing golf at the age of 39 and you have three kids running around and you're working a full-time job and you want to have a good marriage. You can't do that. It's going to be hard. That's why you got to do it now.
Part of it, too, is like if I were to get into golf, yep. Like we were talking about this before the show and I had asked you, what am I looking for with Tiger, for example, uh-huh. with Rory this weekend to know that they're playing well? When you're not a golfer and you don't have a trained eye to look at it,
yep.
You take the suggestion of everybody in the room. Oh, he must know what he's doing. Okay, I'm going to do that. He told me to do this.
Yeah,
I'm going to do that.
That's fair.
Because you don't know anybody.
No, you know, it's funny. And it's a fine line. It's really a fine line. By the way, I want to get some calls on this. I mean, we'll obviously get into some more, you know, serious stuff. Real serious stuff, sports stuff. A little hoops for you later on as well. Inbounds, out of bounds. Brad Lidge, a little baseball, former closer. We got the usual setup for you. But I'd love to get some calls, and I just spent 12 or 13 minutes trying to condition today's my producer, eventually he's going to be a producer, and a very good one, and our terrific engineer, D-Cell, who we love here on the show, big part of the show, we love him. And I'm trying to convince these young bucks that, you know, golf is, not only is it cool, but it's incredibly, golf, you know, eventually you got to stop playing, you got to stop running full court with your boys. I mean, the Achilles, you know, you shatter a knee, the hamstrings. You know, who's playing full court when you're 47 years of age? I mean, maybe if you're a physical outlier and a physical anomaly, good luck. You know, good luck. You lace up the sneakers tight and hope for the best. Golf. My dad's 75. I'm going to play golf with my dad this summer. I can't really go out and have batting practice, you know, have my dad throw BP to me. Although he probably could pull it off, actually. But you know what I'm saying. 855-212-4227. Educate the young wave that just needs to latch onto this brilliant game, this brilliantly maddening game of golf. Obviously, Tiger's playing well. Always makes the weekend a little bit better. Last time I checked, we'll get you the full update. Ack is on top of this. I'm on top of this. I'm watching the leaderboard throughout the entire show. Phil just teed off about an hour or so ago. Jason Day hurt his back. He's not going to last long. If he didn't already withdraw, he might have. He was on the floor getting stretched out, couldn't even walk. Really, he's pulled out of a lot of tournaments. That back is a problem. Tiger, birdie on 2, birdie on 9, birdie on 13, birdie on 14. He's got a couple to go. He's right now inside the top 5. So Tiger's looking good. It's a fun weekend. It's the Masters. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Now, what was I supposed to do? Haven't heard this in a while. Atta boy. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Okay, Tiger Woods looking really good, tied for the lead. Tiger is minus 3 through 14. 1, 2, 3, 4 others are at minus 3. A bunch are at minus 2. Phil Mickelson, lefty, looks pretty sharp, minus 1. I'm going to get these calls, and they are flooding in about as we try to convince, coerce, basically beg, initiate the conversion of these young non-golf fans. I don't know what they're missing. But I was watching the opening ceremony this morning, as I always do. It's poignant stuff from every historical level. The Black Knight, the great Gary player, South Africa. Still pretty yoked, by the way. Gary wears those tight black shirts. He's not afraid to show off the pipes. He posed for the, not that I want to see that, but he posed for ESPN's the magazine a couple of years back, and damn, he looks good. I mean, I don't think I look like that now, to be very frank. So he's 83. The great Jack Nicklaus is 79. And of course, everybody's friend Arnie Palmer is no longer with us, as we know. Otherwise, he would have been out there with his buddies. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and I thought I knew the answer, but I wanted to text one of my buddies in the golf business just to make sure that I had this right. Like, if you're Gary, Player, and Jack, you hit the ceremonial first shot. You go up there, and they rip off your accomplishments, you know, 9 majors for Gary, Player. I want to say 6 green jackets, I think it is, for Jack. Obviously, we know Tiger's chasing him in totality. And, you know, they're all suited up. They're ready to play golf. They have their bag there with all their clubs in it. They put on their little golf club. They hit the ceremonial first tee shot. Jack didn't like his. I think it went a little bit to the right. I think he pushed it. He wasn't happy. And you got to love the competitive spirit there, even at that age. And I believe Gary flushed it. Gary was pretty happy with his. But I'm thinking, like, why not just let them play 9 holes? Like, how, if I'm Gary Player and I'm Jack, like, that would be almost, what's the right word? Maybe disheartening. Like, it's awesome to hit the ceremonial first shot, but I want to play. I don't want to go home. Oh, I hit one shot, I got to go home. I hit one shot, I want to hit 100. Although, of course, they would hit about 80 at this age. Let's get Chris in Myrtle Beach. And Chris is first up on Tiki and Tierney. Chris, what's happening? How are you, buddy?
Hey, good, Tierney. How you doing today?
Okay, what do you got?
Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of, so I'm 25, and, you know, I never used to be a golf fan, and long story short, I was in the military, got out, and, you know, my body just kind of don't work like it used to. And I know I'm only 25, but I find myself when I go play basketball hurting.
Okay.
So I had to find something else. You know, I had to find that outlet. So I started playing golf, and mind you, I am terrible, so I'm not good. But once you start going out there and once you start playing, and yes, it's frustrating, but you realize that, yes, people play football and baseball and all that stuff, but and you can get strength and you can do your speed, but golf is all about the finesse and the mental and keeping the concentration. And when you realize that, and when you go on that course so much and you realize how hard it actually is, that's when you find yourself watching it, because I never used to watch it, and I slowly find myself, and now I'm completely in love with it.
Really?
Because you just know the finesse it takes. And one more thing real quick.
Yeah,
wouldn't
sure.
You love to see Tiger pull off it one more time? Just one more time. Wouldn't you love it?
I will love it when it happens, no doubt. Chris, thanks for the call. I've been saying for a year, you know, with Tiki. Tiki and I would go back and forth on this. I always believed that Tiger Woods would certainly come back and win a tour event, as he did a year ago, and which, by the way, was a Nike commercial. I mean, he's got 7,000 people walking up with him to the green at, was that East Lake? I think it was East Lake. And it was amazing. I mean, I was watching more golf that day than I was NFL football. I was going back and forth. I had a buddy over. It was crazy. I mean, Tiger, is anybody going to make you switch off NFL football other than Tiger? No. So that's the one thing. And I do believe he's going to win. If he wins this weekend, wouldn't surprise me. He's going to win a major. Could win 2 this year. And the other thing, and I read this. This was interesting because you look at who he has to beat. And obviously, there's a flooding of great young players. We know all the names. I don't need to rip through them. But I read something interesting about Brooks Koepka, and it was a pretty strong criticism from my buddy Brandel Chambly, who's going to join me on the show tomorrow from the Golf Channel. Incredibly intellectual breakdown of a game that is all about math and science. And Brandel Chambly does it as well as anybody in the business. Admittedly, not everybody likes him. Rubs people the wrong way. I love him. We're friends. He's cool. But I didn't even know this. Brooks Koepka, talk about the shoot that Gary Player did. Brooks Koepka went from 220 pounds. I mean, that he was like a college linebacker. And he's down to 190. And I didn't realize when you, because he did a photo shoot. And it was for vanity reasons. He even said that. Koepka said that. And, of course, Brandel chastised him for it. And, you know, you don't think about these things, but if you change your body type, the plane of your swing is going to be altered. Could be by a millimeter. So Brooks Koepka right now, watch, he comes out and shoots a 63 tomorrow, is not playing great golf. I don't think Brooks is ready to win. So pertaining to Tiger Woods having a big summer, all right, where's Jordan Spieth's putter? Where's Rory McIlroy's short game? Jason Day's hurt. Dustin Johnson's a beast. We know that. But, you know, I mean, Phil can still win on any given weekend for sure. But Tiger's winning, and it very well might be this weekend. Let's go to Oregon, beautiful state. Rob is on Tiki and Tierney, 1490 AM. Rob, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
Hey, I love what you said about Tiger. I think he'd win. I fell in love with golf when I was young. In the 1986 Masters.
Oh, Jack, when Jack won at the age of 46. I wasn't watching. It's funny, and I certainly let you finish here, Rob. The 86 Masters, I was 12. And Tiki always laughs. I have an incredibly vivid recollection of any sporting event that I've seen. I don't know that it's a gift. That just happens for whatever reason. And sure. I don't even have a fleeting recollection of my dad watching that in 86. I don't even think my dad was as lasered into golf. But, yeah, I mean, and you look at – it's funny that you look at Jack's body at that point.
Oh, yeah.
46.
He's like me. He's an old guy with a little belly and
yeah.
Bad back. It was awesome. And my dad, he didn't want to watch it, but my great uncle pulled me into his room in Bakersfield. We're visiting.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to see this. And I'm like, I fell in love with golf right
there. That's how it started. How old were you at that point?
I was 16.
Very cool. Did you start playing right away as a result?
Well,
or?
I was already playing like wiffle ball golf. In the
I got gotcha.
With my buddies.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Making
no,
up
I
games.
I totally got into it. And my back is blown up. But I fell in love with golf. And that's why I love what you're saying about Tiger Woods.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
He has a chance.
Oh, yeah.
I love your show. And I hope he does it.
Rob, forget about, you know, thanks for the call, bud. We might have to stop saying very soon, Tiger has a chance. I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but as long as his putter is right, and it has not been right so far this year, I get it. But if it's right, and it's right today so far, which is all that matters, we very well might be saying pretty soon, Tiger's the guy to beat. I mean, Tiger hits the ball not as far as a Rory at a Dustin, but 90-ish percent of it, if Dustin's going to hit it 350, Tiger's going to hit it 312, 317. And if his short game is tight and he's locked in, why can't Tiger Woods become the guy to beat again? Not just, wow, look, Tiger's in contention. What a story. No, going into every major, Tiger's the guy to beat. I don't think it's unrealistic. I really don't. And when you measure ball speeds and the different metrics of the game, swing speed, they all add up. I've talked about this for a long time on the show. Physically, Tiger is fine. Jeff is in South Carolina. Jeff's on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. Love the show. So I'm actually from Augusta, where the Masters is. I grew up there, and golf never interested me when I was younger. I was an athlete. I did basketball. I did soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I went to play college soccer, and when I got out of college, I did the same thing. It's almost like you were speaking to me. I said, I want to try golf. My friends play it. So I started playing, and I didn't take lessons, and it was as fun as it could be. I was playing every weekend, you know, no kids, no wife.
Yep.
And, you know, I got pretty good, and then the kids and the wife came along, and I miss it. I miss it so much. I mean, if you don't do it now when you have the time, it's very difficult to get into it, like you said, when you get older and you got a life to take care of. So, I mean, if you're trying to preach to them, they need to go do it now, because when you get the chance to play, you know, once a month with your buddies, it feels good to hit that drive down the middle.
Oh, yeah.
It feels terrible. To not get the ball off the tee and to be terrible at golf.
It is emasculating. I mean, we've all hit a ball a yard. I've actually hit ball. This is ridiculous. I mean, I have hit balls backwards. I actually have. Now, I don't mean like 30 feet behind me, but where you would actually think that it challenges the laws of physics. I have challenged every physical law out there. I've challenged and I've broke, unfortunately. I've hit balls behind me off the tee. I don't get it. It's the only thing I can compare it to for those who have never played. Ack, you've hacked your way around a course a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Lost a lot of golf balls.
By the way, what is with the Edward R. Murrow 1950s microphone today?
What the heck's going on? It was here when I walked in.
What? Well, who's using it?
We're going old school.
We're going old school? Okay.
Yes. They took away that you see the
33
the
minutes
horn.
Past the hour here on the show. Weather and traffic coming up next. The comparison would be this. If you've never played golf, most of you have walked into a casino at some point. Think about the range of emotions at a blackjack table. I would say craps, but I don't trust craps. That'll swallow you up. Like, you don't know how to play craps. I'm asking the wrong guy. You do.
Yeah.
Have you ever played?
Yeah. There were times I walked out of the casino 1 hour later saying, "What just hit me?"
Absolutely. Like, it's a gaming tsunami where this guy, the pit boss, you know, dice and flip. I'm like, what's going on? At least in blackjack, I know if I win or I lose. But to compare it to the swing of emotions would be when a communal win, like when you rip off, if a dealer, I'm talking like you're playing 25, 50, 100 bucks a hand, the dealer busts, say, three or four times in a row. Everybody's got a couple of drinks, maybe three of your buddies and two people you just met, but everybody's vibing, everybody, hey, we buzz, woo, you know? And then he turns into the Iceman. Mm-hmm. And just like that, it goes from what I just described to suddenly you lose six hands in a row. And you might lose in the most excruciating fashion where you split and then you split again and you have if you play card, you have like nine hands in front of you all of a sudden and you lose them all. That is the range of emotions with golf. And if you could deal with that, you could deal with golf. If you can't, don't waste your time. All right, Ack's going to get you the leaderboard. We've got Antonio Daniels coming up next, former NBA guard. Love him. He's great. We've had him on the show a lot. From Fox Sports Southwest, NBA analyst, both on the Pelicans and the Thunder, get to some of the first-round matchups. He is an awesome NBA voice. Trust me, if you don't know already. We'll get that after Ack, who's coming at you right now.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiger just, I'd say he stiffed it, but as he's wrapping up his round, par three, I'd say curled it to about 13, 14 feet. Get your up and down, take you two from there, take you three in totality, move on, get a par. All right, today's Power Rankings brought to you by OSDB. At OSDBSports.com, you'll find sports stats, breaking news, and personal information athletes have chosen to share with their fans. Don't miss a beat. Go to OSDBSports.com. And you look at some of the power rankings. This is a good way to tee it up as we get ready for the playoffs, which begin obviously this weekend in earnest here. Warriors 1 for me. I'll put the Bucks 2. Really 3, 4, and 5. I've vacillated a little bit here. But I'll go with the Raptors at 3, the Rockets at 4, and the 76ers with a little asterisk depending upon Embiid's health. He might not play game 1. That series will be tough against the Nets. The Nets are coming in nothing to lose. They got some scorers. They got some shooters. They've got a good energy and a lot of pressure on Philly, but I'll put Philly 5 in that spot. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Series XM Channel 206. Teak is in Paris and he's getting ready to run a marathon. He's a maniac. He's an Iron Man. Santa is in Israel. Now, probably should, what do you think, D-Cell? Probably should wait on, if you know what I mean, with Santa. Yeah, okay. Don't want to divulge anything, but it's good. And those guys will be back. Teak will be back on Wednesday. Santa will be back. When's Santa coming back, by the way? Late next week? When is he coming back?
April, June, July?
I don't know. I don't know if he knows yet. But I do know, ready to talk some hoops. Antonio Daniels, who we love on the show. He treats us well. He's been here many times. Former NBA guard. He was a top 5 pick back in the day. Fox Sports Southwest analyst. What up, Antonio? How are you today?
I am awesome, brother. How are you?
Good, man. You sound fired up as always. So let me hit you with this before we get, obviously, Thunder-specific, playoff matchup-specific. You played the game. You were good. You played for a long time. You played for a couple of different teams. Dirk Nowitzki, Dwayne Wade, better NBA career in your eyes. Who was it?
Oh, man. See, I don't like doing this.
Well, you're going to have to start liking it because I need an answer.
So what you're doing is you're going to throw me under the bus to start it?
No, not at all. No.
If I had to say one.
Okay.
If I had to choose one, I would say Dwayne Wade because he has 3 championships. And he's also the 3rd best shooting guard, arguably debatable, of all time. But see, like, that's why I like saying that, because it's almost like if you say Dwayne Wade, you're discrediting Dirk. And if you say Dirk Nowitzki, you're discrediting Dwayne Wade. Both those guys were fantastic.
Uh-huh.
They had amazing first ballot Hall of Fame careers. Dirk completely revolutionized the power forward position, completely changed the position as a whole. And Dwayne Wade, you can argue that he's possibly the best 2-guard under 6'5" to ever play the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, both of them are fantastic. You know, Dwayne Wade had 3 championships. Dirk had 1. So when you start speaking on greatness and what separates greatness when you get into that stratosphere of elite players like that, it usually comes down to rings.
Okay, and I'll volley this back at you. And obviously, no right or wrong answer. I personally say Dirk, okay, because, you know, listen, Teak, and I'll tell you why. Tiki always tells me availability is the best characteristic. Dwayne Wade missed a lot of games.
I hear you.
Okay.
And the thing is, I can't say that I can't say you're wrong. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I hear you. Like anyone who says, well, I feel like Dirk has a better career than Dwayne Wade, I'm like, oh, okay, I get that.
Yep.
But,
yep.
You know, from my perspective and my point of view, because of the championships that Dwayne Wade got, because of, you know, you can say durability, but Dwayne Wade also played the game at a very reckless pace.
Agreed.
So to make it playing that long, mm-hmm. playing that hard, and then to have an opportunity to recreate himself where he was no longer flash but mm-hmm. still effective, you know, you got to give credit to that as well.
Fair enough. I'm going to miss them both, and I love them both. I just want to get your thoughts on that. I wasn't trying to throw you under the bus, man. I just know that you like tough questions. You're not getting soft on me, are you?
Never that.
I know.
Never that.
Listen, for your Thunder, I got to tell you, I think this is arguably the most favorable matchup that they could have hoped for. I don't want to jinx anything. I certainly never view myself as a mush, but I think this is going to be a fairly easy series against Portland. I'm saying Thunder in 5 right now. How about you?
I don't think it's going to be an easy series. Portland has they have a lot to prove. They have a whole lot to prove, because if you go back and you look at their track record, they've been eliminated in the first round for the past 3 years. Last year, they were a higher seed, and they got swept. So this is a team right now that's undermanned, that a lot of teams and a lot of people are writing off.
Yeah.
So they're going to come in with a little bit of motivation behind them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Oklahoma City right now arguably is playing in the best basketball in the league right now. They won 5 games in a row against some pretty good teams, against some teams that are playing for something, teams that are, you know, in the playoff contention and mm-hmm. playing teams that needed to win. So winning 5 games after they went through that long stretch of inconsistent kind of bad basketball, the most important thing is peaking at the right time of the year, and you want to be playing your best basketball at the right time of the year. What better way to be heading into the playoffs after winning 5 games in a row?
It's a good way to get into it. I'm not going to argue with that. That's Antonio Daniels, former NBA guard, Fox Sports Southwest NBA analyst. I actually want to bounce around, and I have something else for you on the Thunder, but I was thinking about this on the ride in today. I've got a theory that, you know, and I've said this with Tiki many times, in the NBA, if you play with integrity and you play with purpose and heart and you play that way, maybe 82 games is unrealistic. There's always the occasional you get in at 6 a.m. and flights and all that. But if you play hard, even if you're a little short on talent, you're going to win some games. You're going to clip some good teams during the regular season. So you agree with me so far, right?
No question.
Okay. So that leads into this. I look at all 16 teams that are in the playoffs, and I see 2 teams that got there based primarily on energy and accountability, and that's the Clippers. I know they could shoot as well. I actually think it's the Pacers more than Brooklyn, because I think Brooklyn's skill players are a little bit undervalued nationally.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is this. I think that for the Clippers and the Pacers, when you get to the playoffs, that's when the advantage of energy erodes, and I think both of those teams get beat up pretty fast.
Right, and I think, you know, it's a star-driven league. It is a star-driven league. If you go back and you look at the teams that have been successful, they're mm-hmm. always led by stars. And in today's NBA, you can get away with it in game 1 through game 82, not having stars. You know, really superstars, I should say. Because if you, like you just said, if you play hard, if you play with effort, if you play with purpose, and energy, you are going to put yourself in a position to win a lot of basketball games.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, when you start talking about playoffs and you start talking about seven games and beating a team four times in 2 weeks, you need star power. You need firepower, really, to close games out down the stretch, because the game shortens, the court gets a little bit smaller, mm-hmm. and the game is not as fast.
Yeah.
So it slows down a little bit. So you need guys in a half-court setting situation that can, one, collapse the defense, and two, create opportunities for themselves and their teammates.
Antonio, what is your theory? And this is really stemming from my thoughts on the Milwaukee Bucks. No disrespect, Pistons just aren't that good. So they're terrible on the road. Mm-hmm. The Bucks are terrific. The Pistons are flawed. They might win one game if they don't get swept here. But my question with the Bucks, or actually take the Bucks out of it, and just, I guess, in totality, would you rather, as a player, breeze through the first round and not get remotely challenged and stay healthy and stay rested because guys don't play big minutes, but when you get to the next round, all of a sudden you're thrust into an incredibly competitive, probably 6 or 7 game series, but you're rested? Or would you prefer to be a little more challenged in the first round to better prepare yourself for the rigors of round two?
For me personally,
yep.
As a player, I feel like the easier that you can win and move on without any issues, without any health, without anybody breaking down, without your body taking more wear and tear than it has to, you take advantage of that. So okay. For me, I would rather breeze through a first round where you have an opportunity to rest and look at who you have coming next, and let those two teams beat each other up.
Mm-hmm.
Let them beat each other down.
Okay.
But the soonest that I can get ready for my next round, I want to get ready. I don't want to risk anything.
Okay. The 4-5 matchup in the West, to me, jumping around a little bit, Antonio Daniels, who's just, he's awesome with this. Love having you on, man. I appreciate you coming on as well. The Rockets and the Jazz, I don't want to say that I'm necessarily tempted to take the Jazz. I think the Rockets will emerge victorious. I definitely think the Jazz get a couple. I think they're well coached. I think they have I know they have players. I don't think it's a good matchup for them. But is there any chance the Jazz can beat the Rockets?
Honestly, I don't think so.
You don't?
I do not think so. Again, you hit the nail on the head. Like, Utah is very well coached.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play extremely hard. But talent, when you start to get to this point of the season, talent carries, man, it carries so much. And James Harden, especially in the first round, now you can go back and maybe you can talk about, you know, the second round or the Western Conference Finals, he may run out of gas because that's what he's known to do in the past, and you don't understand or know the health of Chris Paul because of his past resume as far as being available is concerned. But look, man, when you start talking about the first round and you have teams that are healthy coming in like the Houston Rockets is, that is going to be a very, very difficult team to beat first round for the Utah Jazz.
Hey, like,
James Harden alone is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So difficult to guard. And the way that Houston Rockets offense just runs, it just runs on James Harden, his ability to make shots. And then you have Chris Paul with the ability to create for everybody else. That's going to be a very, very tough matchup for the Utah Jazz.
Where are the Warriors mentally right now?
I think right where they want to be. You know, I think they got the matchup that they wanted first round. You know, like, realistically, I don't think the Warriors, they don't fear anyone, which they shouldn't. You know, they've been the front runner now for 4 straight years, 5 straight years, whatever it is. Like, there hasn't been a team yet that has really shown that they have the chemistry, the firepower, and the star power to dethrone the Warriors. If you're in Houston, you can make the argument and say, well, we almost did it last year. Almost doesn't count.
Yep.
Because no one has done it. This is a team that a few years ago won 73 games and still lost, and they've won 3 of the last 4 championships. So until they get dethroned, especially with the addition of Boogie Cousins that gives them a completely different offensive element that they've never had before, they should be as confident as anyone.
This guy wakes up energetic, like Johnny, not Johnny Manziel, like Baker Mayfield. He wakes up feeling dangerous. I love it. Hey, we got to bounce. I'm sure next time you're on, Tiki will be in for it. So enjoy the first round, and we'll be talking down the road. Antonio, I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
For sure. I appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. You know it. Love that guy. He's good. He's good. Natural exuberance. You got to love that. Just a natural presence. Just a natural flair. Just loves the game. Yeah, I'm going to respectfully disagree with his assertions on the Jazz. I'm going to give the Jazz more of a chance. I'm going to give the Jazz at least two wins. I'll run through this more in depth coming up. But I think that's a tough series. I think the Warriors probably sweep. And I think that Nets-Sixers series, Embiid's a little banged up. Philly's got pressure. Nets have none. We'll get to it. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up. More Steelers drama. That's on the menu next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.